Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Former lawmakers say that agriculture has a lot to gain now that Republicans control both chambers of Congress. Former Texas Representative Charlie Stenholm says that a GOP Congress could break some gridlock over trade promotion authority that would allow the Obama administration to cut key trade deals before leaving office. Stenholm adds that he expects the ag committees are going to have to comb through programs once again to offer recommendations for cuts to lower the budget deficit. Stenholm also says that the ag committees should be players in debates over the Renewable Fuels Standard and EPA Clean Water Act ruled redefining waters of the U.S. The main issues expected to come before the agriculture committees in the next 2 years are reauthorization of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and reauthorization of child nutrition programs, including school meals. Senator Thad Cochran of Mississippi, the current ranking Republican on agriculture, is expected to use his seniority to claim the top position on appropriations. Pat Roberts of Kansas is likely to claim the Senate Ag Chairmanship. Meanwhile, Congress may take up legislation in the coming lame duck session that would reauthorize the Surface Transportation Board for another 5 years. The Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee has approved the legislation, and the Congressional Budget Office estimates the cost of the proposed reauthorization at $164 million over 5 years, an amount that should not raise too many concerns on Capitol Hill. The board's main responsibility is to regulate the nation's railroads. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, trading 17,374, is up 69 points. The NASDAQ, 4158, up 15. The S&P 500 at 2014 is up 8.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. It looks like we've got ourselves a storm system in the southern plains, which has really been quite beneficial for wheat purposes. Oklahoma and a big part of northern Texas picked up on anywhere from about 3/4 of an inch to 2 inches of rain in the last 2 days. That was certainly substantial, and it occurred right across some of the driest areas in the country. And the relief there is significant, although there will have to be some additional precipitation eventually down the road. In the meantime, there's been a lot of talk out there about getting too dry in U.S. hard red winter wheat country. Just wanted to make a mention on that. It does look as though the region is going to stay dry for a little while. The crop did have moisture sufficient to bring it up out of the ground in most cases, but some of the late planted crop is not well established, and there is need for some moisture there. In the meantime, the heart of the Midwest is certainly favorably moist, and it's not a little bit too wet in some cases, and we do have some reports recently about wheat planting being behind because of some of the wet bias we've had recently. The temperatures across the region as we go through the day today are going to be somewhat on the mild side, so we aren't going to see tremendous drying, but there won't be a lot of precipitation in the region either. There will be some light rainfall in the far northwestern corner of the Corn Belt up in Minnesota and eastern Dakotas, and there'll be a little bit of rain that occurs near the Ohio River and points southward through the lower Mississippi River basin. Everybody else will be dry today. We'll look for highs running mostly in the 50s, and a little pool of 60-degree readings will occur out across portions of Kansas, as well as more portions of Missouri and Nebraska, maybe a small part of southwestern Iowa. We'll expect the temperatures, though, to change a little bit as we move forward in time. We've got a couple of surges of cold air headed for the region. The first one will come in probably tomorrow. We'll see afternoon highs only in the 40s and 50s across a big part of the Midwest. And those temperatures will probably hold on as we go on into the day on Friday. There will be a few 60-degree readings out in the southwestern part of the region. What's interesting is as we move forward through the weekend into early next week, the surges of cold will become more potent, and we're expecting to see some very cold temperatures during the early to middle part of next week, perhaps. Some of the coldest temperatures of the season will be possible. We'll look for some low temperatures in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt and the northern plains, only in the single digits and teens. Most of the heart of the Midwest will cool down during midweek next week, with the low temperatures probably dropping down mostly in the 20s. We will see some teens in the northern parts of the region. Now, there is going to be a chance for some snowfall as we transition from the warm weather into the colder conditions next week. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday will probably bring some snowfall across a portion of the upper Midwest from parts of the Dakotas and Nebraska into Michigan and Wisconsin. We'll watch real closely. There may be a little bit of snow further to the southeast from there. Precipitation between now and then, though, isn't going to be all that substantial. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Join us November 24th for our first ever WILL Egg Farm Assets Conference at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. Our on-air analysts will be all there talking about corn, soybeans, and cash grain marketing. And we've lined up experts from the U of I College of ACES to take up farmland values, crop insurance, and the ARC-PLC decision. The cost is $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter December wheat, 583 and three quarters, down 6.5. March, 588, down 6. Soft December, 523 and three quarters, down 6.75. March, 535 and a quarter, down 6.75. December corn, 361.5, down 3. March, 374 and a quarter, down 3. May, 383 down 3. July, 389 and 3 quarters down 3. November soybeans, $10 and a quarter down 9 and 3 quarters. January, 999 and a half down 10 and a quarter. March, 1004 and 3 quarters down 9 and 3 quarters. July, 1014 down 10. December soybean meal, 369.90, now 370 down 250. December soybean oils, 32.55, down 52. December live cattle, 166, 12.5, down 52.5. November feeders, 236.75, down 37.5. And December lean hogs are 87.97.5, and they are unchanged since the opening bell. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry from Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Dave.
There you are, sir.
Glad to be with you.
Glad to be with you, too. And I guess a question that I would have for you is that did producers jump all over the top end of the rally a couple of days ago or maybe last Friday and went ahead and hedged additional product?
I think for the most part, they did take advantage of it in the beans and to a lesser degree in the corn and also on the back end in the November 15 beans, probably got on some of that. But for the time being, I think now that we've pulled away from the top end of the range, selling is probably going to slow and we're probably going to fill up all the countryside storage that we can.
So a third day of downward prices. What is your anticipation for the month when we look back at it at the end of November?
At the end of November, my presumption is that we've probably established the top end of the range and that we're going to chop sideways, basically confirm the low end of the range at some point in time, and at the end of the month be fairly neutral, getting ready to head into the holiday season.
So an inside month of October?
I think that's definitely a possibility.
What about the U.S. dollar and its function in all this? Exports have been really good. Mm-hmm. Export inspections last week were record at 2.77 million metric tons of soybeans. So you begin to think, okay, but the dollar is screaming higher.
The biggest thing about the dollar right now is the fact that the U.S. government is probably printing money slower than some of the surrounding currencies. The European currency still is struggling. The Japanese did a big stimulus package last week. We're seeing PMI numbers out of China that are subpar and have been for a period of time. So they're trying to stimulate their economies here in the U.S. The rhetoric is that the economy is moving forward, albeit not as fast as we would like, but that means we do not have to print currency quite as fast as everybody else, so our dollar is fairly strong. As far as impact on corn, beans, and wheat, I would say the impact is probably fairly negligible. But if you look at the metal markets and the energy markets, it could be far more important.
I think of that in terms of oil production and then this ethanol production.
Yeah, the ethanol production is probably going to be fairly stable until it gets too pricey to the consumer. As far as the energies in general and the crude, if the prices go down below cost of production, let's say for Venezuela and some of the peripheral countries, that will destabilize their economy and cause the global economy more grief. At the same time, the lower energy prices are also telling U.S. producers that you're probably going to have to slow production, and the impact on our economy there is going to have a direct impact on unemployment rates going forward.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.